Hello and welcome to PBS Western Reserve's City-Centric podcast series. My name is Jeff Good, and this podcast series serves as a companion to our City-Centric TV series, where we take a closer look at the community members that are centric or central to the pulse of each featured city. Community members like the entrepreneur, the entertainer, the revitalizer, the politician, the humanitarian, and we even take a peek at the future. They're all featured in each of the City-Centric episodes who are appearing weekly, exclusively on PBS Western Reserve, and that started in September. So the City-Centric podcast series takes a deeper dive with each of our featured City-Centric community members, and we look even further in what makes them City-Centric and ask them what makes their City-Centric to them. Today's guest is Kyle Stone. Kyle has deep roots in the Stark County community. He is a Canton native and a 2001 Canton McKinley Senior High School graduate. He obtained a BA in Law and Liberal Arts from the University of Findlay, and then shortly thereafter obtained a Master's in Public Administration from the University of Akron. He's also an ordained pastor and holds a master's degree in ministry from Temple Baptist Seminary. Stone was elected as Stark County prosecuting attorney in November of 2020. And before this role, he served as a criminal defense attorney. Prosecutor Stone enjoys spending time with his family and friends, especially his daughter and granddaughter. So welcome, Kyle, to this edition of the City-Centric podcast series. And we're going to talk about the great city of Canton. Thank you so much for participating.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, Kyle, I went through, I always say this of everybody that I've talked to, I don't know where you find the time to do all the things that you do when I read your bio, but give the listeners an opportunity. Talk a little bit, maybe more in detail, other than just kind of the scripted bio that I received. Tell us a little bit about you.
So I am the youngest of my mother's three children. I was raised in the southeast side of Canton by my mom, and have two older sisters. But I also have two younger stepbrothers. They live in Columbus and Georgia, respectfully. And my sisters, they live here. I really enjoy my family and friends. I really believe that if we all decide to put our hearts and our minds together, we can make a change and a difference in our communities, in our families, within our circles. And I just really want to see multiple people win. That's just who I am. I believe that we can all win by doing good, treating people with respect, working hard. I have a very positive outlook on life. And so that kind of pours over to my engagement with people. And so just trying to live the best life I can, touch as many lives as possible, make a difference. And that's just really genuinely who I am.
It's a wonderful description, Kyle. And so now what I do is I do with every guest, I'm going to put you on the spot. We have a little quick icebreaker game where I want you to tell me two truths and a lie about you, and I'm going to try to guess. I'm either going to try to guess the two truths, or I'm going to try to guess the lie. One or the other. One way or the other. It works both ways. But tell me two truths and a lie about you, and I'll try to figure out, and maybe our listeners. I've been pretty good so far, but I can be stumped. I know I can.
Okay. I worked for a celebrity in LA as a personal assistant. I have traveled to Italy and did a tour in Tuscany. And then I have traveled to South Africa. And did a tour of that area as well.
All right, this is a tough one because everyone usually tips their hand, and I can usually figure it out. I'm going to guess the first one about being a personal assistant to a celebrity.
that's the truth or false?
I'm going to say that's the lie.
That's actually the truth.
Oh, what was the, if you don't mind saying, what was the celebrity?
So Cheryl Lee Ralph, who's Emmy Award winning, and she's currently on the show Abbott Elementary. I served as her personal assistant when I lived in L.A. back in 2014 to 2015.
Very interesting. So it was either you either didn't visit Italy or you didn't visit South Africa.
I didn't visit South Africa.
Okay.
But I did visit Italy.
Wonderful. Well, you have, yep. I most times what happens is folks get to the third one and I can usually, but you were so good at that. You stumped me. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So in your office, you obviously the office of the county prosecutor, talk to us a bit about kind of the day-to-day activities, you know, for our listeners. What are the day-to-day workings, the activities that involve your work in the county prosecutor's office?
Well, mostly my work is mostly administrative. I sign papers all day, every day. And so generally, whether it's an indictment, whether it's a judgment entry or different documents, I sign them. And I don't use a stamp, so I, you know, hand sign them all just so I can at least have an idea the name or what I'm signing and, you know, what it's regarding, kind of like read through. I have, you know, different divisions. We have our criminal division, civil, juvenile, appellate, with regard to lawyers. And then we have our victim witness division with our victim advocates, our public relations and community initiatives, and then our administrative division. And so we have all of these divisions and leaders, chiefs, and directors that I interact with every day. I'm very hands-on when it comes to the workings of the office, so I generally know what's going on in every division at any given time. And so it's just, you know, engagement is a huge thing for me, to know that my staff and my team is engaged in making sure that we maintain that level of engagement, being concerned with what's going on with them. Generally, every day I walk around the office and, you know, say good morning to everyone. I try to stop by different offices every day, different individuals, just at least say, hey, how's the family doing? How you're doing? How's your caseload? You know, do you need any assistance? Do you need any help? Or just things like that. Or just sometimes just shooting the breeze about the game, you know, that the Browns won. You know, now we have some Browns fans in the office and some not Browns fans. But nevertheless, I'm a Browns fan and, you know, I generally support the hometown team. So, you know, we might shoot the breeze like that. But it's generally at least the first, you know, 20 to 30 minutes of the day is spent going around the office. And then the rest of the day is signing documents, sometimes in meetings. Sometimes on Zoom calls, phone calls, or discussing cases, discussing certain situations. It varies from day to day, but it generally stays the same, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. Now, I know one of the, when we talk about that episode, the city-centric episode, you spend a little bit of time talking about the Stark County Crime Prevention Collaborative. And so just let our viewers know a little bit, who are the players? Who are all part of that collaborative? And what are your hopes and goals for that collaborative?
So we have a nice amount of different agencies. The Kent Police Department, the Stark County Sheriff's Office, Mentor Stark, Kent City Schools, Stark Mars, the Family Court, the Job and Family Services. I think they have a representative on there. The Canton Health Department has a representative on there. From Ministers Association, they have representatives on there. So it's just really a good group of individuals who said something has to be done. We have to look at our efforts. You know, we used to have CERV. And so because of changes to legislation and changes to process, CERV, which I believe was initiated back in 2009, it's just the program, the teeth of it kind of dissipated. And so we have to take a step back to say, well, what can we do differently, or what can we do to increase our crime prevention efforts from a different viewpoint than what we've done in the past. And so having this group together, and we've modeled some of this after the city of Akron, because they have a robust crime prevention model and with community engagement. And so we've modeled after that. And so our whole goal is this: identify some things and triggers and see what direction we can go in. Do we need to start in our elementary schools? Is there some things that we can do to help families as a whole? If there's a child is, whether they're court involved or not court involved, can we provide some collaborative services that might help, if a mom is having to work, multiple jobs and has a hard time, watching her kids or could use a little assistance? Like, what can be done there? What kind of programs can we provide for children after school to help keep them from being exposed to crime or the temptation of crime? And so those are the things that we're trying to do. And so we've been looking at case studies. Our next step is having parent and child meetings or youth meetings. And so we can get their feedback so they can tell us exactly what it is they need that will help them, be better young people, as well as how we can help parents better gear their children towards, graduating from high school, making sure they're accomplishing their goals and trying to eliminate the distractions and eliminate things that might cause them to get, on the wrong path.
Very interesting, Kyle. It's a very great description of that. You did a wonderful job on the TV show, but I think our viewers or listeners are really, that's helpful. And so just doing a little housekeeping work, you're listening to PBS Western Reserve City Centric podcast series. The City Centric television series is not just about the city, but more about the people that are central or centric to that particular city. The TV series focuses on folks like the revitalizer, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, the politician, the humanitarian, and even the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. The City-Centric podcast series takes a deeper dive with each of our featured city-centric community members as we look even further into really what makes them city-centric and what makes their city so centric to them. So be sure to catch all of the City-Centric Season 1, appearing exclusively on PBS West Reserve. It started in September. So once again, we're so pleased to be talking with Stark County Prosecuting Attorney Kyle Stone. And you mentioned in your on the interview and in on the series, you talk about out of your office, it's all about what's right, what's fair, and what's equitable. And that's something that you strive for out of your office. So Kyle, just give me some ideas. What are some efforts, what are the ways that you strive to be fair and right and equitable? What are some of those ways, that you can think of that you, as you deal with that process every day?
So one of the things is when we talk about being right, being right is, what does the law say? The law requires certain things, and I joke with my daughter, but she knows that I'm serious. Because I tell her, if you do something, you're going to jail too. if you commit a crime, you're going to jail too, because what's right is you get treated like everyone else. Nobody is above the law. And that's what I mean by right. This is what's right. And then when we talk about what's fair is, what we do for others will be the same thing that we do for you. And so, we have to follow the law, but also we have to be consistent in our approach. We have to be fair. We got to be reasonable. We can't be so hardened that we miss the opportunity to improve someone's life or to do better. And so we got to make sure that those individuals who we encounter with, that we're being fair and that we're being consistent, and that our efforts, we talk about equitable, that what we're seeking, the sentences or the the punishment that we believe is necessary, that we're being consistent in that manner, that we're being equitable, that people who live on certain sides of the railroad tracks are being treated just like someone who, you know, has certain attorney or they have a court appointed. I just believe that it is my duty as an advocate of justice and as a leader in the criminal justice system here in Stark County, I have a duty to ensure that what comes out of my office is that we're doing things right and we're doing it fair and we're doing it equitably, and that we're ensuring that the trust back is gained or increased back into the criminal justice system. Now, while I can't see every case, you know, I think we process about a little over 3,000 cases a year, while I can't see and govern every case, I generally can have an idea and push as to what I'm expecting and how we should approach, whether it's our, you know, prosecuting a criminal case or it's advocating for our statutory clients. It all means something that we got to do right. You know, when we talk about our appellate division, for example, when we've made a mistake, you know, when we review in a case, I've instructed my appellate division, we don't need to make up case law to justify if we know we were wrong. We acknowledge we were wrong, we fix it, and we move on. And that's the way I operate. That's the way that I will continue to operate. And that's what the people elected me to do, is to bring the integrity back to the office, remove the politics, remove all of that, and just do right by the people. And that's what I intend to do, and that's what I've done over the past almost 3 years.
Now, when you talk about right and fair and equitable, what are some of the, along the way, what are some of the hurdles that you've, you know, maybe you've had to work your way through while you, you know, as you strive for that being, you know, right and fair and equitable, what are some of those hurdles that you've worked your way through?
So, for example, we had a young man who we were approached by the Innocence Project down in Cincinnati in regards to a young man who had been convicted of aggravated robbery back in 2018. And so they had presented some information to us, and you know, in regards to that, we think that you guys have the wrong person. And the pictures that was presented to me and my appellate team, we immediately recognized that they, in fact, had the wrong individual. However, there was a process, you know, just by saying, well, you guys got it wrong isn't enough. You got to go further and whatnot. And so we did some investigating and whatnot. And generally, you don't see the prosecutor doing this. Generally, it's, you know, the Innocence Project or their private attorney, and they're making motions with the court. But as an advocate of justice, as I stated before, the same doors of justice swing both ways. And so if someone has committed a crime, they deserve to receive the punishment that the law allows. However, if they did not do it, then I have a duty to ensure that they, once I'm made aware of it, that I take the necessary steps to alleviate that wrong. And so what we had to do is I had to send two of my investigators from the office to go identify and speak with the individuals who were actually in the picture, who was not the young man. And so we did that. We got a little bit of pushback, you know, some of the individuals who participated in the prosecution of this young man, you know, there was some pushback and some concerns and questions. And like I stated to them, you know, this is not your fault. This is just the system. Something happened and you were only able to prosecute the information that was provided. The judge was only able to preside over a trial with the information that was presided. And so it wasn't until later on that the information was revealed, and you know, we were able to identify that this young man was wrongfully convicted. And so with that in mind, we took the action in connection with the Innocence Project to motion the court for a new trial. and then subsequently dismissed it once the new trial was granted. Because when we talk about doing what's right, fair, and equitable is when we see a misjustice, and I can clearly see it, you know, since this has happened, we've gotten requests, I've gotten emails, you know, requests from people want me to look at their son's or their daughter's case. And the reality is they're not as clear cut. Generally, most times, not even close to as clear cut as the case that we were able to get that young man out and whatnot. And so that's when we talk about, you know, being fair. And he subsequently got into, you know, trouble. Again, wasn't really serious, but he still got into trouble in my office, prosecuted him once again. You know what I mean? Like we took the steps, we did right and fair. It's no one gets special treatment. Everyone is up under the same law, the same rules, same statutes. And so the expectation is that me being the county prosecutor, that my office and my staff are going to pursue blindly, no matter who it is or where they come from, their age, their sex, their political party. None of that matters.
So, Kyle, I'm going to ask you the same question I've asked everyone so far. Just it's a little different for you. So, Kyle Stone, you're the Canton community member, Stark County community member, and the Stark County prosecuting attorney. What qualities, characteristics, personalities, or a combination of all of those makes you Canton city-centric?
Well, the number one thing is you got to care about people. If you don't care about people, it's going to be hard for you to be city-centric, because our cities are made up by people, and people make the world go around. And so that's the first thing is, because I have a love and a passion for people, and I want to see people do well. Also, being a leader and an example, you got to be able to show. It's one thing to tell people, but it's another thing to show them and be that example. Show your other young black men, black boys, that they too can achieve certain goals and aspirations from Canton, Ohio. You know what I mean? Born and raised here in Canton, you can achieve these goals. You can make history. You can make a name for yourself in being positive. Another characteristic is you got to be innovative. How we've done things 20 years ago, 15 years ago, just doesn't necessarily work now. We have to be willing to be innovative and understand that Canton is Canton is unique. It's the only football Hall of Fame city. It has a rich history, and we have so much potential in this city, in this county. And I really believe for us to continue to be city centric, you just got to have a passion for life, have a passion for the people around you. You got to have a passion for leadership, and just have a passion for doing good in the neighborhood.
Well, Kyle, I thank you so much for being our guest on the City Centric podcast series. It's been a wonderful experience talking with you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
For our listeners out there, you've been listening to PBS Western Reserve City Centric podcast series. I'm Jeff Good, and PBS Western Reserve's City Centric television series. It's just not about that city, but it's more about the people that are central or centric to that particular city. The TV series, which has been premiering exclusively throughout this month on PBS Western Reserve, focuses on the revitalizer, the entertainer, folks like the entrepreneur, and folks like Kyle Stone, the politician, the humanitarian, even talk a little bit about the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. The City-Centric podcast series that you're listening to now takes a deeper dive with each of our city-centric featured community members as we look even further into what makes them city-centric and, quite honestly, what makes their city centric to them. So what makes a community member city-centric? Well, join us next time as we continue the conversation with those featured community members on PBS Western Reserve's City Centric series. And make sure to check out the City Centric series that's been premiering all this month in September exclusively on PBS Western Reserve.